Certainly want to thank Brother William Prowl for a fine job directing our singing this morning. And we want to express appreciation to each of you as well for singing along with him with equal zeal and enthusiasm. It is a joy to be able to sing here on the earth, and it's going to be even a greater joy, inexpressibly greater, to have the wonderful privilege of being able to sing together in glory. Oh, what joy indeed that will be. We appreciate the scripture lesson by Brother Eric Prowl and the meaningful prayer led by Brother James Waller. Certainly a blessing to be here today. God is great and God is good, and we thank him for all of his manifold blessings. We ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Prowl. He read two passages. He read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9, and Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. These are passages with which we are quite familiar. We are more familiar with Hebrews 9:27 than we are Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 9. I'm going to read these passages again just simply for the sake of re-emphasis. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let not thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Rather, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Then the Hebrew passage, Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We want to emphasize from these two passages of scripture that all of us are accountable beings made in the image of God, that all of us will have to be judged to give an account of the lives we have lived on the face of the earth. That's a sobering and serious realization that no matter what I do, good or bad, in this life, I must be accountable to God. And I must appear before him that I might be judged. based on these two passages, and we will reference a number of additional passages in our lesson today, I want to use as the specific title of our lesson, with which some of you are already familiar, the value of the YOLO concept, the value of the LOYO concept. Anybody heard of the LOYO concept before? Anybody heard of the YOLO concept? Sister Barbara, say it, ma'am. You only live once. Have any of our young people ever heard the YOLO concept? Y-O-L-O. Anybody, any of y'all ever heard the YOLO concept? We're going to talk to you about it this morning. You only live once. This is a part of the theme for the 37th annual State Tennessee State Youth Conference. The theme is YOLO. You only live once. And then along with that, the rest of the theme is WWJS, not WWJD, but WWJS. What would Jesus say? You only live once. What would Jesus say? I think this is something that we need to give thoughtful and serious consideration to. The fact that in reality, you only live once. What would Jesus say in view of the fact that you only live once? And of course, this lesson is not restricted to or confined to our young people, but it is meant for thoughtful and serious consideration for all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, from the least to the greatest. All of us need to give thoughtful, serious, and sobering consideration to the reality of the YOLO concept. You only live once. You don't get a chance to do it over again. Inasmuch as you only live once, we should live life in view of eternity. We should live life in view of the judgment. You see, you live forward. You cannot live backward. It is not possible to rewind life and live life or selected portions of life over again. We are ever moving inexorably toward the future. We are moving inexorably toward death. We are moving inexorably toward the judgment. You cannot back up. You cannot turn around and relive even a very small episode or portion of your life over. You can't do it. Now, you said, Brother Jones, I thought we could repent. You can repent. But your repentance does not change the reality of what you have done in your past. God can forgive you for it, people whom you have offended or against whom you have transgressed or trespassed, they can forgive you. But the thing I'm emphasizing in you only live once is the fact that you can't go back and undo, literally, undo what you have done. In view of that sobering and serious reality, it should behoove us to live in a manner as soon as possible, start living in a manner that is consistent with the Word of God. We want to live life in an efficient and an effective way, because you only live once. You cannot turn back the hands of time. I wish you could. I wish I could. There's some things in my life that I wish I could go back and undo and start over, but you can't do it because you only live once. So you need to do the very best job that you can. You need to take life as seriously as you can in view of that fact. And there's some things that you need in order to help you live life to the fullest. And the Lord wants you to live life to the fullest. Jesus said, John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to live the abundant life. And you can live the abundant life and live a successful life and live a life that is pleasing to God. You can do that. And the Lord wants you to enjoy life. We've emphasized previously 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? You know, sometimes people act as if God does not want us to enjoy life. Sometimes people act as if God does not want us to live an exhilarating and exciting and an abundant life. He wants you to enjoy life, but he wants you to also consider the seriousness, consider the shortness of life, and proceed to take full advantage of it. Young folks, take advantage of your opportunities. Young folk, take advantage of the counsel that is available to you from your parents, that is available to you from your spiritual leaders, that is available to you from your teachers, that is available to you from your God, principally, foundationally, and fundamentally, based upon his divine word. And recognize the validity of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I know there's a tendency for all of us, young and old, to disregard the things that I'm saying, to not take them seriously. Oh, we've been hearing this stuff for years. Why don't you come up with something new? Well, I've been experiencing rain for 63 years. Why doesn't God come up with something new? I still need rain. I've been drinking water for 63 years, and it hasn't gotten old yet. It's not old-fashioned. I still need water, and I still enjoy a good glass of cold, refreshing water. I still need light. Well, the sun is so old-fashioned. Why don't we come up with something new? When the sun goes out, your life will be extinguished because you're going to freeze to death. So there are a lot of old stuff that is good stuff. The Word of God is old, but the Word of God is good, and we cannot enjoy spiritual life and vitality without it. Fire is also good. And no matter how modern we get or what technological innovations and inventions are brought to the fore, we are going to always need fire. Fire to cook those beans. Fire to fry that chicken. Fire to bake those biscuits. Even if some of you young folks get those biscuits out of a sleeve and not bake them like grandma used to make, you're going to still need some heat. You're going to still need some fire. Fire never goes out of style. Water never goes out of style. We've been breathing the same old oxygen. We've been breathing the same old oxygen for thousands of years. You don't hear anybody saying, well, I just get sick and tired of breathing this oxygen. I want something new to breathe. I want something that's fresh, something that's different. If you give up oxygen, you will die. And if you abandon the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, you will perish spiritually. These are some things we need to have in mind when it comes to living life in a meaningful and purposeful way. You only live once. You only live once. There are several things that are needed if we're to live life effectively. We need good counsel, for one thing. Yeah, you need good counsel. And your first and most significant, let's say our first and most significant counselors are our parents. Our parents. The wise man recognized this cogent truth insofar as us needing the wisdom that is provided by God and that is provided by our parents. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. If you want to live life to the fullest, the one time that is allotted you, verse number 5, a wise son will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's fear the Lord, y'all. Let's fear the Lord, young people. Let's fear the Lord, middle-aged people. Let's fear the Lord, older folk, senior folk. Let's all fear the Lord. Verse number 8, he says, and this might again sound like old hat, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. We can't overvalue the counsel that is provided by our parents and other wise people in our circle of influence. Consider Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And I believe that the sooner you start hearing counsel and receiving instruction, the earlier you start listening to those who are wise and experienced and heeding the advice that they offer, the better off you're going to be. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Notice, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's been proven over and over and over again. If you're without counsel, you're going to end up in trouble. That's why the psalmist, and we often refer to it, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You might say, Brother Jones, you're always quoting that. I'm going to keep on quoting it, because it's valuable. As a matter of fact, it is indispensable, and we need to take it to heart, and we need to constantly implement it in our lives and weave the strands of these vital truths into the fabric of our hearts. We can't overestimate the value of good counsel. Good counsel. It's needed. We need not only good counsel if we are going to make the very best possible use of our lives and live and recognize that we only live once. You only live once. See, you can't, again, turn back the hands of time and go back and do it over again. You have to do it right the first time. And you don't have to go through a lot of suffering. You don't have to bump your head against a wall. You don't have to fall into numerous snares and pits. Mark Twain is reputed to have said, learn from the mistakes of others, because you will not live long enough to make them all yourself. Be observant, observe other folk, and learn from their mistakes. Avoid the pitfalls into which they fell. You know, sometimes young people say, Mama, you did such and such, or Daddy, you did such and such. Just because your mama made a certain mistake, or your grandmama made a certain mistake, or your daddy made a certain mistake, or your granddaddy made a certain mistake, that does not give you the license or the right to make that same mistake. And you ought to want to avoid that mistake. When mama tells you, honey, I got into some trouble when I was a teenager, and I don't want the same thing to happen to you. We should say, well, thank you, mama. Thank you for calling that to my attention. I'm going to do everything within my poor power to ensure that I avoid the pitfall into which you fell. You only live once. We need good counsel, but we also need good companions. We need good companions. We need somebody to help us along the way. We need somebody for encouragement. We need somebody for support. We need somebody for guidance as we wander through this troubled world. We need somebody to help us. That's why the Lord has us as a part of the church. That's why the Lord has us as a part of his fellowship. It is designed for us to help and edify one another, to build up one another, and to help make life more meaningful and more successful and more effective. You only live once. So you need somebody to help you. Remember, evil communication corrupt good morals. You know, you need to watch out who you hang out with. The wise man recognized it years ago when he said, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Pick out you some good companions, pick out you some good friends, pick out you some good buddies, people who love the Lord, people who are trying to do right, people who share your moral values and your spiritual principles. Recognize that and live that way, because you only live once. You only live once. Not only do we need good counsel, good companions, but we also need strong convictions. Strong convictions. What do you believe deeply? What do you really believe about God? About the church? About your obligations and responsibilities to God? What do you believe about God's word? And to the degree you are responsible for ordering your life by the word of God. You know, convictions are strong, deep-seated beliefs. See, because of your convictions, because of the things you believe deeply, there are certain things you won't do. There are certain places you won't go. There are certain folk you won't hang out with, because you realize they're going to hinder my journey to glory. They're going to have a negative impact upon my spirituality. My convictions say, well, that's something I can't do. My convictions say, that's against my religion. And it's not like the man, a lady was going to give him something to eat. He was a homeless man. And what he said, Brother William, was when she told him, she said, "I got some work for you to do, and I'll feed you. If you do some work for me afterwards." He said, "All right, ma'am." And he was wondering all the time what kind of work she had for him to do. And after he finished eating, he said, "All right, what you want me to do?" She said, I have some wood out back. I want you to split it for me." He said, "What?" She said, "I got some wood I want you to split. So I got a nice sharp axe, and I'd like for you to split the wood so I'd fed." He said, "I can't do that. No, that's against my religion." She said, "What do you mean it's against your religion to split wood?" He said, "Well, the Bible says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Some of y'all will get that later. But we need convictions. There are some things we actually shouldn't do. Recreational marijuana is one of those things we ought to avoid. Social drinking is one of those things you ought to avoid. You can do without it. repenting is one of those things you ought to avoid. My convictions, my spiritual values will not allow me to be in any way promiscuous. Now, some people say, now you going to meddling, preacher. I'm just talking about living life more and most effectively and most successfully. Because you only live once. Not only do we need good convictions, not only do we need godly companions, godly counsel, we need also, in addition to those things, we need to make good choices. Good choices. Someone has said that freedom is the opportunity to make decisions. A wise man makes his own choices or decisions. An ignorant man follows the public opinion. The sum total of our lives basically is equated to the sum total of our choices. Our choices in life will determine our destinies in life. So we need to make good choices. And choices don't have to be accompanied by a lot of fanfare. No trumpets sound when the important decisions of our life are made. Destiny is made known silently. The decisions, the choices that you make within your own heart are done quietly, silently, based upon the good counsel you have received, based upon the convictions you have formulated in your heart and lived out in your life. The hedonistic philosophy of pleasure seeking, which promotes getting all the gusto out of life you can because you go around only once, is dangerously flawed. That's the beer drinker's philosophy. You only live once, so experience as much as you can experience. Get as much gusto out of life that you possibly can. Enjoy as much of life's pleasures as you possibly can, legal or illegal, moral or immoral. That is a dangerously and deadly flawed philosophical concept by which to order your lives. You know, there's some stuff you don't need to experience. There's some things you don't need to try. Commensurately, the irresponsible and foolish concept of sowing your wild oats while you are young should be rejected summarily and preemptorily. No, you don't have no business sowing no wild oats. You know, and some old folks tell young folks, yeah, son, sow your wild oats now. You don't ever have any business sowing no wild oats. And some folks will have the temerity to sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. We need to recognize the unimpeachable law of sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you want to make sure you sow good seed. You want to make sure that when reaping time comes, you're going to reap a good spiritual crop rather than reap destruction. Why, Brother Jones? Why do I need to be careful what I sow? Well, because you only live once. Now, I want you to be aware of the fact that you don't have the ability to choose the consequences of your choices. I want you to listen to that. You don't have the ability or the power to choose the consequences of your choices. I think in most cases, the consequences are built in to your choices. It's so easy, and I'm gonna have to finish up, but it is so easy for us to make unwise choices and waste our lives. It's so easy for us to just lollygag along, haphazardly, sporadically living life. And before we know it, life has really passed us by. And we have failed to achieve nearly what we are capable of achieving. It's going to be tragic when individuals recognize that there are some things that they could have accomplished, some things that they could have been, some things that they could have done, some good they could have achieved if they had made better choices. All of us have built-in potential that has been given to us by the God of glory. But we don't always realize the potential that God has placed within us. I never cease to be amazed at the latent potential that God has placed within us, but it's left up to us to capitalize upon it. Potential, originally, that which has power, potent, that can but has not yet come into being, possible. Latent, unrealized, underdeveloped power to become, power to achieve. In grammar, potential expressing possibility, capability. And I hope our young folks will listen, and I hope all of us will listen, because it's never too late to start afresh. You can't go back and undo what has been done, but you can begin where you are. You can use what you have. You can do what you can from this point forward. The wealthiest spot on this planet is not the oil fields of Iraq or Kuwait or Saudi Arabia. Neither is the wealthiest spot in the gold and diamond mines of South Africa, or the uranium mines of the Soviet Union, the silver mines in Africa. Though it may surprise you, the richest deposits on our planet lie just a few blocks or a few miles from your house. They rest in your local cemetery or graveyard, buried beneath the soil, within the walls of those sacred grounds are dreams that never came to pass, songs that were never sung, books that were never written, paintings that never filled a canvas, ideas that were never shared, visions that never became a reality, inventions that were never designed, plans that never went beyond the drawing board, purposes that were never fulfilled. Our graveyards are filled with potential that remain potential. What a tragedy. As we walk and ride the streets of our cities, our hearts should weep as we encounter the wasted, broken and disoriented lives of individuals who years before were talented, intelligent, aspiring high school classmates. During their youth, they had dreams, desires, plans, and aspirations. Today, they are lost. Today, they are lost in a maze of substance abuse, alcoholism, purposelessness, and poorly chosen friends. Their lives are aimless, their decisions haphazard. This enormous tragedy saddens me tremendously. What could have been has become what should not have been. The wealth of dreams has been dashed into the poverty of discouragement, disillusionment, despair, and defeat. Only a very small percentage of the 6 million plus people on this planet will ever experience a significant portion of their true potential. Are you a candidate for contributing to the wealth of the cemetery? Ask yourself the following questions in view of the fact that you only live once. Who am I? Why am I here? How much potential do I have? What am I capable of doing? By what criterion should I measure my ability? All of us have God-given ability and potential, and we should bring our lives into alignment with God's will and commit ourselves to living in such a way as to bring Him glory. Whatever we do in word or deed, we ought to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. We should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. Because one day, we're going to have to give an account for how we have lived. You only live once. What would Jesus say to you? Well, I think I know what Jesus would say to you in view of that fact. Jesus would say to you, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I think I know what Jesus would say to you insofar as ordering your priorities properly. In view of the fact that you only live once, he would say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." I just believe that that's what he would say. I believe that Jesus would say to you, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I think if Jesus were to talk to you, Jesus would say to you what he said with reference to himself in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now, that's what I think he would say to you. I think he would say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Be you not unwise. Therefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. You only live once. Why not make the very best of your life? Don't walk through life in a daze, unconcerned, complacent, apathetic, just moving along through life, no sense of purpose, no sense of meaningful direction. Make your life count. Make every day count. Because you only live once. Is that registering with anybody? Does it make sense? Is that good counsel? Jesus, he had a purpose. Jesus recognized that he didn't have a whole lot of years to accomplish his purpose. So Jesus was focused. Jesus was committed. Jesus was diligent. Jesus was determined to accomplish his Father's will. When he prayed with great solemnity in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done." That should be the prayer of each and every one of us who is interested in pleasing the great God of glory, because we only live once. And you have not really begun to live in the fullest sense of the word until and unless you submit to God in humble obedience. If you've not begun the Christian life, if you have not become a part of God's family, why not make your mind up to do that today? Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. Jesus died in your place. Jesus made your salvation possible. He died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He arose from the grave on the third day. You know this wonderful story of love. You know what Jesus has done for you. Now, are you going to accept what Jesus has done for you or not? Well, I've got plenty of time. I can do it later on. I can do it next month. I can do it next week. I can do it next year. I can do it the next decade. Well, you might not be here the next decade. You might not be here the next year. You might not be here the next month. You might not be here next week. You might not be here tomorrow. You might not be here this evening. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why not obey the Lord now? You've heard that good news. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And begin to live a brand new life. Begin to make the very best possible use of your time. Begin to live the most meaningful, purposeful, and fulfilling life starting today. Well, Brother Jones, I've wasted so much time. Well, we can't go back and undo those things on which you wasted time. That's past and done. We can't rewind and go back because you only live once. But you can pledge that you're going to start anew today. Why not rededicate your life to the Lord today through repentance, confession, and prayer? Why not come as we together stand and as we sing?
There's a mountain reaching, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the bridge. Is a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living.
I'm gonna sing this just one more verse. Why not make up your mind today?
From the throne of life, now it flows. Oh, while the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come? come.